And now it's time for the Earth First Update, all the environmental news you can use. I'm Uncle Dennis here in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. First thing I want to ask you to do is get yourself a pencil and paper. Have it handy, because you never know when something might come up that you hear about that you want to do, some web page you want to go to, some email address you'd like to send something to, some idea that you get by listening to the news. Might be handy to be able to recall that later. And if you're like me, you better write it down. We're going to start off with a word of caution here. A word about FBI harassment from the Civil Liberties Defense Center. And I found this on the Earth First Newswire. The Civil Liberties Defense Center has recently learned that the FBI has been out harassing activists and their parents by conducting knock and talks at parents' homes and workplaces. This reminds us to once again share the Civil Liberties Defense Center FBI scripts. Make sure that your parents, housemates, and significant others understand security culture, their rights, and that they should never, ever talk with the FBI. Make sure you have conversations with your family prior to any potential contacts by the FBI. Every modern-day activist should have a talk with their families and loved ones just to be safe. Even a seemingly innocent question like, "Do you know where your daughter is?" can be very problematic. One, the FBI likely knows where the target of their questioning resides. Two, the FBI may be seeking information on the ties an activist has to their family for various potentially harmful reasons. Three, if the FBI thinks they can get information out of a parent or your loved one, they will keep coming back multiple times for more. And four, the government often attempts to harass parents or loved ones of activists to apply pressure, stress, and fear on the family, partner, and or the activist. The best and safest way to avoid any or all of the negative consequences of FBI contacts is to completely avoid them. You never have to speak to an FBI agent or police officer. Let me repeat that. You never, ever have to speak to an FBI agent or police officer. Just tell them, "I don't want to talk to you." If the authorities repeatedly contact your family, advise them to seek an attorney who can contact the FBI and inform them that the attorney represents your family and that the FBI is to have no further contact with them unless they bring a warrant or subpoena that has been authorized by a judge. Family lawyers or lawyers unfamiliar with FBI methods are always welcome to contact Lauren Regan at the Civil Liberties Defense Center for consultation and assistance. And those all-important FBI scripts can be found at cldc.org. That's cldc.org. Turning to news, construction vehicles have been torched by ALF-ELF in Australia. This communique was received anonymously by Biteback and found on the Earth First Newswire. Early morning Monday, the 13th of October, the Animal Liberation Front and the Earth Liberation Front decided to pay a visit to Pepe's Ducks construction site at Linden Road, Cunningar, North New South Wales, Australia. Targeting Pepe's business was an easy choice for us, given that they are the biggest Australian supplier of factory duck meat to the masses. But as the human population grows and Pepe's $400,000 bill in 2012 for being a fraud has to be paid, it's no surprise they are seeking to destroy more land and more lives in order to keep themselves on top. A storm was moving in and the skies had opened up by the time we reached the site, but without hesitation we decided to act. Incendiary devices were strategically placed and accelerant spread on three of their earth-destroying machines, and with just a spark, smoke began to fill the sky as we made our departure. For all those suffering at the hands of their domesticators, commodified but not forgotten, ALF-ELF. And in Mexico, a dam opponent was slain during a radio broadcast. Boy, this really strikes home. We got this from the World War IV report as found on the Earth First Newswire. two gunmen shove their way into a radio station in Mazatlan, Mexico, a port city in Mexico's Sinaloa state, and opened fire on local activist Atilano Roman Tirado, killing him while he was live on the air on October 12th. Roman Tirado had a weekly program on Radio Fiesta Mexicana called Así Es Mi Tierra, That's How My Land Is, in English, as well as leading a group of campesino families displaced by the Picachos Dam. In recent years, the movement of some 800 families demanding compensation for lands lost to the dam on the Rio Presidio has staged blockades and protest marches, resulting in some arrests and repression. Sinaloa's Governor Mario Lopez Valdez said the killing would not go unpunished. Violent attacks on reporters and media workers are increasingly common in Mexico. According to the New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists, 75 journalists and media workers have been killed since 1992, although the vast majority were reporters or editors for print media. In March of 2010, six campesinos opposed to the Picachos Dam project were killed when their pickup truck was riddled with bullets while on their way home from a protest outside the state legislature building in Sinaloa's capital, Caliucan. Police said the truck was caught in the crossfire of a shootout between two convoys of gunmen linked to criminal gangs. Three other bodies were also found along the highway murder scene, but dam opponents marched through Caliucan after the incident, accusing the state government of having a hand in the murders. And the death of a northern white rhino leaves only six left on the entire planet. The story by Ari Phillips of Truth Progress, as found on the Earth First Newswire. A 34-year-old male northern white rhino has died in a wildlife conservancy in Kenya, leaving on only six white rhinos left in the world. Suni, one of four northern white rhinos living at the Ol Pejeta Conservancy, was the first ever northern white rhino to be born in captivity. He arrived at the conservancy in 2009 from Dvor Krylov Zoo in the Czech Republic as part of a breeding program, along with another male and two females. The cause of the death has yet to be determined. His father, Saut, died in 2006 of natural causes at the same age as Suni. No northern white rhinos are known to have survived in the wild, and Suni was one of the last two breeding males in the world, leaving the future of his species in serious doubt. Quote, the species now stands at the brink of complete extinction, a sorry testament to the greed of the human race, unquote, said a conservancy in a statement. The conservancy will continue to work towards breeding a northern white rhino calf. In 2012, Suni entered a courtship ritual and mated with another northern white rhino named Dunjin. However, that mating did not result in a pregnancy. The northern white rhino is the world's rarest large mammal. While it is often considered one of two subspecies of white rhinos, the southern white rhino being the other, recent research has found that the northern white rhino may indeed be a distinct species. Having once ranged across southern Africa, southern white rhinos were considered extinct in the late 19th century. Then in 1895, a small population of less than 100 individuals was discovered in South Africa. Now there are about 20,000 southern white rhinos living in protected areas, making them the only non-endangered rhino. Formerly found in several countries in East and Central Africa, south of the Sahara, the northern white rhino was decimated by poaching. Their wild population reduced from around 500 to 15 in the 1970s and 80s. In Asia, rhino horn was used as a traditional medicine and is often now used as a status symbol of success, especially in Vietnam. It can sell for more than its weight in gold or platinum. According to a recent report from the World Wildlife Fund and the Zoological Society of London, the Earth has lost half of its vertebrate species, mammals, birds, fish, reptiles, and amphibians, since 1970. The report found that the worst declines of animal populations have occurred among developing low-income nations. About 7% of the overall decline could be attributed to climate change, according to the report, with over one-third due to exploitation, such as poaching, while most of the rest was due to habitat alteration, degradation, or loss. And here in California, Caltrout has sued the Bureau of Reclamation over some endangered steelhead deaths. California Trout, represented by the Environmental Defense Center, filed a lawsuit on October 6th in federal district court in Los Angeles against the United States Bureau of Reclamation, or BUREC. The lawsuit alleges that BUREC violated the Federal Endangered Species Act by causing the deaths of hundreds of endangered Southern California steelhead trout in Hilton Creek, below the Bradbury Dam and Kachuma Reservoir in Santa Barbara County. Hilton Creek, which is located directly downstream from Bradbury Dam, is designated by the National Marine Fisheries Service as critical habitat for the endangered steelhead. The BUREC is required, pursuant to the Environmental Endangered Species Act and a biological opinion issued by the National Marine Fisheries Service in the year 2000, to release water into Hilton Creek to ensure adequate flows for the species to migrate, spawn, and mature, and to ensure that the fish does not fall further into jeopardy of extinction. Water released into Hilton Creek flows directly into the main stem of the Santa Ynez River, providing water for downstream agricultural and other uses. Between March of 2013 and June of 2014, the Bureau's water pumps continually failed, causing Hilton Creek to run dry and leading to the death of at least 393 steelhead. Quote, the Hilton Creek fish kills are a good illustration of the problems that plague the entire Santa Ynez River watershed, unquote, said Kurt Zimmerman, Caltrout's Southern California program manager, continuing his quotation, before the construction of Bradbury Dam, the Santa Ynez River supported the largest single run of steelhead south of San Francisco. The number of adult fish in this watershed will remain negligible or even decline until BUREC manages the operation of the dam in a manner consistent with the protection and recovery of this important species, unquote. And if you want more information, go to www.caltrout.org. That's C-A-L-T-R-O-U-T.org. And here's the forest update for October. The forest update is courtesy of Jody Frediani, who produces these reports monthly and has for many, many years. Starting off with the San Vicente Redwoods timber harvest plan has been submitted to CAL FIRE. Semper Verens Fund announced on October 17th that Semper Verens Fund and Peninsula Open Space Trust have filed an ecologically sensitive timber harvest plan with CAL FIRE for the 409-acre tract of working forest on the 8,532-acre San Vicente Redwoods, formerly the Cemex Redwoods property. Here's quoting from Semper Verens. The sustainable THP was conceived as part of a creative approach to conservation that enabled Semper Verens Fund and Post to jointly purchase the San Vicente Redwoods property in 2011 for $30 million. The vast forested property features coastal hillsides, wildlife corridors, habitat for rare species, and streams that provide critical drinking water, and is the largest privately held redwood forest in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Our planning process for San Vicente Redwoods is the most rigorous we have ever undertaken, said Reed Holderman, executive director of Semper Verens Fund. This THP, Timber Harvest Plan, uses a light touch and includes extensive repair and restoration work to address past land management practices. As longtime protectors of redwood forests, we take such activities to heart. The Timber Harvest Plan, developed in consultation with professional forester Nadia Hamey and vetted with local environmental interests, include important conditions for improving the ecological health of the land. Highlights include the low number of trees to be harvested, the use of a cable yarding system to minimize erosion, retention of key wildlife habitat trees, expanded buffers around streams, road and culvert repairs to enhance fish habitat and protect water quality in San Vicente Creek. Through much collaboration with our partners and expert advisors, we have come up with a model plan that sustainably enhances the protections for land and water in the San Vicente Redwoods, a landscape that has been managed by people for more than a century, said Peninsula Open Space Trust President Walter T. Moore. This area needs to continue to be managed carefully so that wildlife and nature can thrive here alongside people. We are committed to the ongoing restoration of this property and will give this spectacular forest the care and stewardship it deserves. Well, we're going to be watching. And in the same area, a 3,050-acre timber harvest plan has been submitted by Red Tree Properties. Red Tree Properties has just submitted the largest THP I can remember in the Southern Subdistrict, 3,050 acres within the Pescadero Creek, Butano Creek, and Little Boulder Creek watersheds. Matt Bissell is the registered professional forester. The plan also notes it is within Waterman Creek and State Creek watersheds. Pescadero Creek is a Class 1, Class A coho salmon stream with coho found downstream of the project area. And Butano Creek is also Class 1. Both are 303D listed as impaired for sediment. The registered professional forester assures us that, quote, Red Tree Partners has invested several hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last two decades on projects to improve habitat conditions, unquote, for salmonids. Returning to the quote, some but not all of these projects were co-funded by governmental agencies, unquote. Hopefully these may be identified elsewhere in the plan, as they are not found in the section where this comment was made. The plan notes that Water Tank Creek and Butano Creek habitat areas will be considered occupied by marbled murrelet. Those stands have been mapped out of the harvest area. Portions of the plan area lie within 200 feet of Big Basin Redwood State Park and Pescadero Creek County Park. Portions of the harvest area will also abut Highway 236 and China Grade Road. A plan of this size and scale is what happens when the forest practice rules are loosened, allowing plans to be good for up to 7 years. That's an average of about 430 acres per year, but a significant harvest in a short amount of time within any given watershed. Helicopter yarding is proposed within the San Mateo County portion of this plan near the confluence of Pescadero Creek and Waterman Creek. And tiny travelers of the animal world, hitchhikers on marine driftwood, in this story from Zoosystematics and Evolution, public release on 10 October of 2014. A new study led by a Canadian marine zoologist reviews the world list of specialist driftwood telotrids, which so far comprises a total of 7 representatives, including 2 newly described species. These tiny animals all live in and feed on decomposing marine driftwood. Dispersal to distant oceanic islands is made possible because they use floating driftwood to hitch a ride to their destinations. The study was published in an open access journal, Zoosystematics and Evolution, by Dave Wildish, and you can get more information by emailing him at wildishd@dfo.mpo.gc.ca. That's wildishd@dfo-mpo.gc.ca. And we want to thank Jody Frediani, forestry consultant for the Loma Prieta chapter of the Sierra Club and director of Central Coast Forest Watch, for producing these monthly forest updates. And Australia has agreed that a shark cull is unacceptable. Drumlines will not be deployed off of West Australian beaches this summer, which starts about now, after the state's Environmental Protection Authority advised against extending the government's controversial catch-and-kill shark policy. The regulator's chairman, Paul Vogel, said the available information and evidence did not provide the organization with a high level of confidence. Premier Colin Barnett said the recommendation meant drumlines would not be in place off the Western Australia coast this summer. Sea Shepherd's Western Australia shark campaigner Natalie Banks stated, quote, "This is a tremendous victory for the people that understand the vital and important role sharks play in the health of our oceans. Finally, their voices have been heard from all over the globe," unquote. Sea Shepherd would like to congratulate and acknowledge supporters, the general community, the No Western Australia Shark Cull Movement, the shark scientists, the Greens, Labor, Animal Justice Party, and select Liberal members, and the numerous conservation groups that kept the pressure on and the focus on ensuring that, in the end, logic, public opinion, science, and sense would prevail in our oceans. The Western Australia government should also be acknowledged and encouraged to continue with their other alternatives, which pursue shark mitigation life-saving techniques that don't kill marine life. Sea Shepherd's Operation Apex Harmony is committed to seeing an end to drumlines and nets around Australia's coast that merely provide a false sense of security by killing thousands of marine life, including whales and dolphins. It's 2014, and these archaic, indiscriminate killers should be taken out and replaced where there is a demand with non-lethal alternatives. Sea Shepherd Managing Director Jeff Hansen stated, quote, the EPA should be congratulated for listening to the people, listening to the science, and giving sharks and future generations the respect they deserve. The world's children need healthy oceans, and healthy oceans need sharks, unquote. Help us continue our important work for Operation Apex Harmony by going to our webpage, www.seashepherd.org.au. That's www.seashepherd.org.au. And no place to hide for Africa's pangolins amid a Chinese buying spree. In this story by Emma Farge and Gerards Obengame, with additional reporting by Tansa Musa in Yaudnell, editing by Michael Roddy and Tom Hennigan, World Environment News, Thomson Reuters. Alongside dirt roads twisting through the dense tropical forests of Gabon, the scaly bodies of lifeless, long-snouted pangolins dangle from sticks stuck in the ground by the hunters. The pangolin, an animal that looks like an anteater but has tough scales of a crocodile, has long been prized in Central Africa as a bushmeat delicacy. But growing demand for it from Asia, where pangolin scales are used in Chinese medicine to help women lactate and to cure skin disorders, now threatens to hasten its demise and rob African countries of a precious resource. Conservationists say the demand boom is due to declining wild populations in Asia, as well as high numbers of Chinese workers in Africa's resource and timber sectors located in remote regions in the continent's interior. The example of Africa's elephants, whose numbers have been slashed by demand from Asia for their ivory, have promoted conservationists to mobilize to protect the pangolins. It's always been ivory, but the new pressure is on the pangolins, said Lee White, a British-born head of Gabon's National Parks Agency, which runs the 13 national parks covering just over a tenth of the country's territory. We're looking out for workers here, putting out orders for pangolin, and we've had to train sniffer dogs at the ports. Shy and nearsighted, pangolins only venture out from the safety of their burrows or treetop homes at night to scour for insects. When startled, they curl up into a ball, a technique that is futile against the cable snares used by local trackers. All eight of the world's species of pangolin, which range from 30 to 100 centimeters in length, that's about 12 to 39 inches, are threatened with extinction. Up until recently, African exports were thought to be done opportunistically and on a small scale. One parcel of scales was found nestled inside a tin of dog biscuits. But so far this year, more than 6 tons of African pangolin scales have been seized before export to Asia, more than the combined total of all previous seizures. Cameroon seized 1.5 tons at the Yaounde airport in June, according to senior Customs Department official Etienne Tabi Mbang. Other shipments were intercepted from Kenya, Sierra Leone, and West Africa. There is potential for it to become more industrial as people realize they can make money from pangolin scales, and we are starting to see this already with seizures of large volumes of scales, said Dan Challender, who was doing his PhD research at the University of Kent in England on the pangolin trade and co-chairs the Pangolin Specialist Group. Within Asia, around 10,000 animals are seized annually despite a de facto trade ban, but Challender said this could represent just 10 to 20% of the total world trade. Following the arrest of a dozen Chinese workers with pangolin scales last year, Gabon is working with researchers on an investigation into the growing exports. Francesca Baker, a postgraduate student at Imperial College in London who is heading the Gabon Research Group, says villagers admit to selling carcasses to Asian workers. One such worker approached a local bushmeat processor and sought to strike a deal to purchase the scales. Neighboring Cameroon has also organized workshops for custom officials at air and seaports to identify and seize pangolin shipments. But while conservationists prize the work of some African governments, they say tougher local legislation is required to protect pangolins. Gabon has 3 pangolin species, but only one, the giant pangolin, is protected from hunters. Even so, it is still served as meat in local restaurants. Despite Gabon being one of the better students in terms of protecting the environment, the penalties for infringements are far from being dissuasive, said Eric Arnhem of the Wildlife Conservation Society in Gabon. From the seaside capital, Libreville, pangolin meat is popular with the local elite. The meat is boiled for hours to remove the scales in restaurants in the Chic Monte de Louis district and then dished out with cassava or banana for up to $20 a plate, which is expensive compared with other dishes. The pangolin is in great demand from our clients, although it's rare to see it in the market, said Madeline Saw, owner of one of the restaurants. But when we have it, it is sold straight away. And a lawsuit has challenged a decision to scrap wolverine protection. The fight is on to get wolverines the protection they badly need. The Center for Biological Diversity and its allies have gone to court to challenge the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's decision in August withdrawing plans to protect wolverines under the Endangered Species Act. The estimated 250 to 300 remaining wolverines in the lower 48 states face severe threats from global warming, which is shrinking the spring snowpack they need to build sheltered dens for their young. Global warming over the next 75 years is projected to wipe out 63% of the wolverine's snowy habitat. Fish and Wildlife Service proposed to protect the animals under the act in 2013, but after several states objected, the top administrator ordered the agency to withdraw the plan. The lawsuit from the Center for Biological Diversity fights that decision, since science, not politics, ought to determine which species get protected. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for the Earth First Update this week. The Earth First Update is presented every Thursday evening right here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM on the radio dial. If you want to hear a rebroadcast of this show, tune in tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on Free Radio. You can also hear a rebroadcast on Free Radio Edmonton. You can find them at yegradio@wordpress.com. That's yegradio@wordpress.com. They have rebroadcasts at 2 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. Sunday Mountain Time. In Moscow, Idaho, tune in to KRFP 90.3 FM at 9:30 on Monday nights. Radio Free Moscow has been rebroadcasting the Earth First Update for many years. Thank you. And you could also turn your computer to radio4all.net. That's radio, the number, 4all.net. And when you get there, search for Earth First. Don't forget the exclamation point radio news or Earth First exclamation point update. All right. Just want to let you know that radio4all.net archive for broadcasters is in need of funding. So when you go to that website, do help them out and us out by sending a donation. The Earth First Update is a production of Earth First Radio News and is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Do tune in next week for another edition of the Earth First Update.